Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Way of the Dreamer, the radio show. This is where we affirm the power of dreams and synchronicity and imagination, things that are often underrated as tools and resources for life. I'm very excited about this show. We have a wonderful guest, one of my certified teachers of active dreaming who works in an office and helps people in the workplace as well as outside it to play with their dreams and bring some juice and guidance through for the day. Just before we get started, before I introduce Sarah, I want to tell you a story about the theme of this particular program. We're calling the program Dreaming at the Office. And my mind goes back to a time when someone in my workshop sighed and said, "Robert, I don't know. I don't have these big, epic, archetypal dreams. I am in my dreams. I'm often in my workplace at the office." And I said, "Okay, give me one of these workaday dreams." And she gave me one from the night before. She said, "Well, I dreamed I'm in my QB, it's that kind of office, boring, I'm doing boring work, I don't want to be there, and my boss comes in and he's acting up, he's acting out. I know it's not about me, but nonetheless, he's ready to vent on someone, and he bangs his fist on my work surface," says the dreamer. "He spills my coffee, and I say bad words," says the dreamer. "And I leave, and I say, 'Okay, well, this is a workaday dream with a bit of action. How'd you feel?'" She says, "Well, actually, I felt pretty bad. I thought, oh, darn, I might have lost my job." I said, "Well, that's not so boring. It's a QB work office situation." So we did some elements of the lightning dream work game, which Sarah and I will play in a moment. And I said, "Okay, well, reality check. Could the boss vent like this?" "Oh, yeah. He can be a two-year-old when he's upset. Is it possible he might vent on you when it's really about someone else?" "Oh, yes, absolutely." So we went through our process, and I said, "Well, if it were my dream, I'd keep in mind that if anything like this starts to happen, I want to remember it's not necessarily about me. I want to keep my cool. I want to pace myself. I want to avoid mirroring back the boss's rage." Okay, she makes an action plan. The action plan is to carry the dream to the office as guidance. And the day after, the dream starts to play out. She's in her QB. Boss comes in. He's in a rage about something not to do with her, but he's going to vent. And he bangs his fist on her work surface, and he spills her coffee. So the dream is playing out. So we're hearing something about how our dreams might anticipate waking events. But we can do better if we remember and work with the dreams, right? So the dreamer is Miss Zen. She folds her arms, says nothing. The boss goes away. She mops up her desk. The boss comes back and apologizes. "You know, it wasn't about you," says the boss. And she says nothing. Miss Zen, she doesn't say, "I know it because I dreamed it." She just is cool, calm and collected. Boss comes back later with a bouquet of flowers and says, "I'm really sorry. You know, it wasn't about you," she says. "Put them there." End of the day, boss comes back. He says, "You know, we're having this company meeting in Cancun, Mexico. Why don't you come with us? You don't have to do any work. You just sit on the beach and drink margaritas on us. How about that?" "I could do that," she says. So, because in a workaday dream, being at the QB in the office, because in relation to workaday dream, the dreamer decided to discuss it, get some guidance, apply it, take appropriate action. Instead of being in a bad situation after the boss started acting up and acting out, she got an apology, she got flowers, and she got a vacation. But that's an example of dreaming at the office. Well, my guest today is a wonderful dream worker. She is so intuitive and so quick and so grounded and so poised to help us apply our dreams to everyday life.
Well, I'm having a hard time hearing.
She works in an office.
my teens of active dreaming, Sarah told me once that her favorite TV show was the British original of The Office. So it's irresistible to do a show divided street at The Office. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for having me on the show.
So I think there are two big themes to the show. I mean, and along the way, I'd love you to tell me a dream, and I'll tell you a dream, and we could demonstrate our lightning dream work process. But there are two big themes to the show. One is, you know, how we bring this stuff to people where they work and where they live in an everyday way that gives them some juice and energy and guidance for the day. And the second is the value of the so-called workaday humdrum dream, which might be showing us something that we don't already know. Now, you work in an office, you have people around you, they know that you're a dream girl, they know that you think about dreams and so on. How do they interact with you? What kind of questions do they ask? Do they ask you how they can remember their dreams? Do they ask you to interpret dreams? Tell us some stories about how you interact with people at the office when they come up with a question about dreams or indeed with a dream.
Well, usually they do know I'm a dreamer and that I'm happy to, you know, help them or share dreams with them and share the lightning dream work process. Usually, though, when someone's going to show up at my desk, recently and more often, it's when they have a dream about the departed. That's usually a big push for them to, you know, come to me with a dream that they might want help on. So, hello?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I think you're going to give me an example of someone sharing a dream of the departed.
A good example, I would say, I would share an experience that I had a couple years ago where one of the women in the office, her dad had passed away. I didn't know her very well. And she came to me with a dream of her dad. She was so unsettled by it. And she came and shared the dream with me. And we did work on it. I tried to, you know, help her see what it had in common and what he was trying to bring back as a message. He had shown up maybe a couple months after his death. And his appearance was not really great. And in the dream, he talked to her about some things that he wanted her to check on, which was pretty literal, I would say. And we went through it, and I gave her the if it were my dream and what she could use to maybe actually go and check on these things for him so that he could find some closure and so could she. And it did turn out well for her, but that's one of the instances where people do come with dreams, usually about the departed.
Yeah. This is very important for people to hear and know and think about, because, I have found that the number one reason that people who are not accustomed to talking about dreams open up is they've dreamed of someone who has died. And they want to begin with some kind of confirmation and validation. I mean, very often they want to have someone who they can trust say to them, okay, this might actually be your father, this might be your grandmother, this might be someone who has departed, it might be transpersonal, yep, could be a part of you that is like that person and is prone to the same habits or the same problems, but quite likely it is actually a visitation from or simply the presence of someone who has died. And it's a wake-up call for many people who have not been paying attention to dreams, not remembering, not talking about them, when someone who has died turns up. And as you know perfectly well, Sarah, I mean, there's now an opportunity for healing and forgiveness. There's sometimes an opportunity to help the deceased deal with unfinished business. Sometimes the deceased, when they've got themselves clear about their situation on the other side, are in a position to play counselors, mentors, everyday angels to the living, because they have information that goes beyond the normal range of our perception. So there's so much to be harvested from an encounter with the deceased, but people who are not accustomed to talking about this kind of thing or sharing any experience, as I say, the number one requirement might be if they find someone they feel they can trust, you can simply say, you're not going crazy, it's not superstition, it's okay, this goes on all the time, and here's what I would think about if it were my dream, and here's what I might want to do with it. Do people, you know, because you're a dreamer and people know you're a dreamer, do people say to you that they can't remember their dreams, and do they ask you what they can do about that?
Oh, yes. They do say that all the time. And actually, I had a conversation like this about a week ago with one of my coworkers. And, you know, I just say, oh, you're dreaming. You're just not remembering it. But whatever is going on, you're going to still benefit from the dream. But, you know, maybe trying to go to sleep with some intention, like writing a note saying, I will remember my dream tonight, and being prepared. And being prepared to write the dream down with just having some paper or pencil next to your bed. The other thing I find is that, you know, a lot of people use alarm clocks, which are so shocking. And, you know, if there's a way that I usually try to suggest, if there's a way that you can wake up without actually a jarring, you know, sometimes they have those clocks that don't have a sound, but they start to have light that comes on and then gets brighter, so it's a little bit less of a disruption and more gradual. I always find that helpful, because when you're jarred out of a dream, you know, you're jerked right out of it. And
right.
It can be hard to recall.
Right. Well, that's good advice. So, Sarah, I'm going to give you a very small workaday dream of my own. I'd like you to play my guide and lead me through the lightning dream work process. Would that be okay with
you? Okay. That would be great.
Everybody who follows this program knows the lightning dream work process by now, but just in case you're coming into this for the first time or you've forgotten, it's a simple four-step process for sharing dreams or stories of any kind, actually, that enables us to hear some non-intrusive, non-authoritarian feedback from others and be guided to action. If you want a full description of it, you can find it in several of my books, including Active Dreaming. So I'm going to give Sarah what for me is a pretty workaday dream. It's got an element in this that is beyond the ordinary, but pretty workaday dream, and it's the sort of dreaming of the office dream, since my office is usually of leading workshops and trainings around the world. So, Sarah, I'm going to lay a very simple dream on you. And the title is, we want to give a title to our dreams, the title is Getting to the Point, okay?
Getting to the Point.
Getting to the Point. So I am busy in leading a series of workshops in a very busy night of social dreaming. I mean, there are many scenes. I won't try to go through them. I can't even remember them. But I'm in one scene after another. You know, trying to hold groups together is going pretty well. There are some difficult individuals, but I'm handling them. There's one individual, a woman with short gray hair, who's particularly difficult, and I haven't quite resolved things with her. So that's something I haven't quite succeeded in dealing with. Then I go outside and I get in the water. I think I'm in the sea. I think I'm in the ocean. And so I sort of interrupt all this workshop activity, and I leave the woman who's issues are sort of somewhat unresolved, and I go out and I get in the water and I swim. And I swim a long, 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 long way. I swim out to the end of something like a dock or a pier, which narrows to a point. It's only about a foot wide at the end, and there's some kind of metal construction at the end, like a metal cover, small metal cover. I don't understand it, but I'll mention it because it's there. And I'm very pleased I've managed to get this far out. And so I decide, okay, I can turn around now. And I go back on land, and I swim back, and I meet with the short-haired woman who was negative before, and I succeed in charming her, and all is well. There's a slight risk now that she's so enchanted by me that that could be a problem, but I managed to avoid that too. So that is the short dream report from a much longer night of social dreaming activity.
Okay. All right. So how did you feel when you woke up or when you were...
Well, I had what I call the just-so feeling. When I say that, I mean I felt I'd come out of a real experience. I felt all of this was a real experience. I felt that the workshop situations were entirely real, whether they're going on in a parallel reality or could happen in the future. I felt satisfied. I mean, I felt satisfied. I felt confident. I mean, not in a strong way. I didn't have strong feelings, but let's say I felt satisfied with the job well done.
Okay. And what do you recognize from the dream?
Well, I recognize that the workshop situations were familiar. I recognize that there can be problem individuals who need special handling. I recognize that moods and feelings can bounce from one extreme to the other, from some degree of hostility to even sort of romantic longing, and of course I'm a swimmer who loves to swim. In terms of the reality, I dreamed this when I was in California recently, and I succeeded in swimming outside. I actually managed to swim outside for a couple of miles, not in the ocean, but in a saline saltwater swimming pool when I was in California. So the longer swim followed the dream, so I was able actually to enact the dream in the sense of swimming quite a long way in saltwater.
So is this possible? This is possibly a situation or a place or a series of events that you could encounter in the future.
Everything going on in the workshop situation, including the problems with individuals and attitudes, is perfectly plausible. It goes on in workshops that I can think about. It could happen in the future. And it could also be an experience of a parallel reality where I'm teaching people that I'm not necessarily going to encounter here.
So what do you want to know about the dream?
Well, I'd be interested in any kind of feedback you have. I mean, there's a mystery, which is this metal piece at the end of the pier. I can't explain it. It looks a bit like something you could, it's strange, you could put your foot in, like the metal cover of something like a sandal or actually like the kind of holster that I have on my stationary bike, which I'm using in preparation for some knee surgery.
Oh.
So it's interesting.
Would that be like a foothold?
Yes, that's good. I didn't use that word, but as you ask me now and I think about it, it does look a bit like a foothold. It may be even small enough for a foothold because the docker pier does narrow to this point, and that's a strange thing. So, yeah, it could be like a foothold.
Yeah, if this is my dream, it brings me to a dream that I had back in September about a workshop situation that I was observing. And you were in it. You are in it, and there's a number of what I call dabblers in the group, dabblers who are going off on their own at certain times, and I think, oh, in my dream I don't like the looks of this, but I think Robert's going to handle this just fine. if this was my dream, I'm also thinking about the foothold at the end of the dock. How the swimming, how it's benefiting me in a way that's going to benefit me maybe in my lower limbs, my legs, my feet. There's something about the bicycle foothold when we talk about it that shows me that this is something that I need to do. If this is my dream too, yeah.
That's good. I mean, I came back from California, and I got on the stationary bike. I've got downstairs, and I put my foot in the holster, which is not metal, and I did a little bit of pedaling, which I'm going to have to keep on doing because I'm having knee replacement. So there might be a little prompt to do the right kind of exercise, the right kind of activity. I certainly recognize there's a prompt to get in the swim, literally and symbolically. And if things are getting tricky in a workaday situation, take some time out, go for a swim. So I recognize that.
My last, if it were my dream, is always, you know, when I'm putting myself in a natural body of water and swimming, it's a way for me to cleanse my energy and clear my head so I can see the situation more clearly.
Absolutely.
When I
Absolutely.
Return, and that's something, you know, I do here, even if it's not a natural body of water. Time
right.
in water is so powerful.
Yeah. Salt and water, you're quite right, salt and water are a great cleansing agent. I was actually, as I said, able to swim in a saline pool after this dream, which was good. I may not be doing that for a while, but certainly we can do the equivalent of that, even to add some salt to a shower or a bath might be a way of doing that. So that's part of my action plan. My action plan is certainly to swim as much as possible and certainly to take some time out if there is a difficult social or individual situation. Just go away for a bit, put myself in my own space, and come back refreshed. So that's part of my action plan.
Terrific. Terrific. So you have the action plan. Would you rename the dream or change anything about the title as a bumper sticker at this point?
Well, I think my bumper sticker would stay in the swim or be in the swim, something like that.
Be in the swim.
Robert. I mean, that's good. So thank you, Sarah. So we just demonstrated after the break. We're going to take a break in a moment. But after the break, I'm going to see if Sarah has a dream she'd lay on me, because whether you're going to do it in the office or the coffee clutch or the lunch break or at home in a quiet moment, it's very good to have a simple process which makes it safe and fun and rewarding. Stories. When I think about the reasons why we are suffering such a widespread dream drought in our culture, I think that one of the reasons is we have not made it rewarding and fun enough to bring a story to the table. There is a story in my new book, Mysterious Realities, which I know some of you are reading, called Dream Takers, which actually gives a pretty scary view of how deeply in trouble we are if we are losing our dreams as a society. So one of the ways of encouraging people to break the dream drought and bring something to the table is having a process that is fun and quick, so you can do it almost anywhere, anytime. So when we come back with my wonderful guest, Sarah Britt, dream teacher and office worker, we're going to see whether Sarah has a dream to lay on me, and we'll do the lightning dream work process with her the other way around. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. We'll be back after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Noss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Noss has a deep engagement with the dream world. And now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. If you haven't got it yet, you need to get my new book, Mysterious Realities, subtitle, A Dream Traveler's Tales, an Imaginal Realm, the book of adventures. It's a thriller. It's nonfiction, not fiction. These are stories that actually play out on the roads of this world and the roads of other worlds accessible in dreaming. Our wonderful guest today is Sarah Britt. She's a trained teacher of active dreaming, and we're talking about dreams at the office. And I think the next place to go, Sarah, is to see whether you've got a dream you'd like to share with me, and we'll do our lightning dream work process with me leading it this time.
Terrific. I actually had a dream this morning about the office, one of the dreams that I had about was about the office, and I titled it Work Challenge.
Work what?
Work Challenge.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm at my office, and the director's secretary comes over, and she tells me I got a very high score on a test, but I tied with one of the guys. So I have to go and challenge him to a retest. I jokingly say that I need to find my glove so that I can smack him in the face with it like a duel. And I walk over to his desk. I did not use the glove. And But I do, you know, challenge him and say, you know, I understand we're tied and we need to retake the test, so I challenge you to beat me. He says, fine, no problem, and the dream ends.
Okay, all right. So let's do our process, work challenge, the what are your first feelings coming out of the dream?
Well, I am amused. I'm excited because I did well. And I am just laughing. It's kind of a joyful feeling.
Okay, so you're joyful. As we keep telling people, your first feelings coming out of a dream are your best immediate guidance on which way to go with the dream in terms of action, in terms of understanding. So, reality check. Do you know the people? Do you know the person who tells you about your score? Do you know the guy that you want to maybe have a duel with? Are these people familiar to you?
Yes. They are familiar to me. The secretary is our director secretary at work. The guy is there, but I don't know that I would be taking the same test because he is a grade level above me. So I think it's interesting that we're tied for a score on the test. The setting is a little bit different than it is. So I'm wondering if this is a future possibility.
Mm-hmm. Is there any element of competition in your workplace, Sarah?
Well, yes, you know, we all take tests, and so depending on how you score, you're up for promotions. You have a possibility for promotion.
So tests are important in the office, and they're part of your key to promotion, and people would be comparing scores. That part is realistic enough.
Yes, yes.
Is it possible in the future you'll find yourself on the same level with this guy? I mean, maybe because you've been promoted or he's been demoted or whatever. But could you find yourself on the same level, on the same playing field?
Yes, that's definitely possible.
Okay, well, that's interesting, isn't it? So what do you want to know?
Well, you know, the glove thing. I'm interested in the glove thing and why I would even think about doing that. I'm also interested in what kind of test it actually is. Is this actually a test for work, or is this a different test, like, you know, a test of character?
Yeah, well, I might mull over the dream and see, try and get my head back inside and get some more detail, if it's available, to answer those questions. But let me respond in a general way. I mean, life is a school. Workplace is a school. We face tests. You face literal tests in your office situation. We face life tests. Maybe the fundamental test here is not in the content of the questions that would be put in the test, but in the social behavior, the social skills, and the ability to stand up for yourself. I mean, I'm thinking if it's my dream, I need to be able to stand up to this guy, and I'm not actually going to slap him in the face with the glove, but I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to stand up for myself. I'm ready to push my point of view, push my status, etc. But at the end of the day, I can avoid actually overt conflict. So I'm thinking that if it's my dream, I'm passing some kind of a social test in terms of how I conduct myself with people at the office who might be rivals. And I'm really juiced and happy to think, you know, I'm on the same level as this guy who's currently, you know, a rank above me in the office, which means that perhaps I'm going to find myself in the future getting the promotion. I mean, of course, further tests might be required on the road to that, but maybe myself and a guy who is currently in a higher position are, in a sense, on the same level. And that's interesting information for me to work with. So I don't obviously need to regard him with excessive respect, but I also don't need to slap him in the face with a glove. So I've got some navigational clues here for going forward in the office situation. Is there some action you'll take based on the dream?
I think based on the dream, I am going to actually put a glove on my desk to remind me that I don't need to use it, and to also watch for the opportunities. You know, as a concrete plan.
You have a gauntlet on your desk, ready to throw down the gauntlet and slap the guy in the face, or at least, you know, offer the hint, the innuendo that this is possible. That'd be really scary, Sarah. For anybody
just as a concrete thing, like here's the glove, but you know, it's a reminder, keep an eye out for opportunities, because sometimes we miss opportunities because we're not actively paying attention.
Right, right. I love it. The glove on the desk. When people, and what we say when people, if anybody notices, they probably won't to begin with because people have all sorts of stuff on the desk. But what would you say if someone noticed the glove on your desk as a new item, clearly an intentional item because it's there by itself, and asked you what is that about? What would you say to someone who asked?
Oh, I would tell them that, you know, sometimes I just need an extra hand for all the work I'm doing.
That's perfect. And everyone would love that. You know, here's the Hindu goddess with her extra hand.
Yeah, they're on the
and if you're going to come up with a bumper sticker, what would the bumper sticker be?
Watch your hands.
Okay. So we just demonstrated, if you're just coming on or you're not yet familiar with this, let me just explain it for a moment. And Sarah has another office situation to discuss after the next break. I'm excited about that. We just demonstrated the lightning dreamwork process. I invented it 18 years ago. And I called it lightning dreamwork because it's meant to be quick like lightning and it's meant to focus energy like a bolt of lightning. Almost no one seems to be able to spell lightning. They put an E in the word. So now I accept that's an alternative, you know, version of the lightning game, which might bring some degree of enlightenment. And as you'll have noticed, if you're following in both versions of it, both sharings, when Sarah led me and then when I led her, they're four steps. And they're very simple. You get the story with the title. And by the way, if you're encouraging someone to tell their story in this way, you are growing their power to tell a story in a way where other people can hear it. And that is a great power for life. So when we encourage each other to tell our story simply and clearly, give it a title, we are inciting each other, goading each other, the most positive way to claim a certain power of communication. And secondly, we ask the basic questions, they're basically just three. What do you feel coming out of this or feel around this? What do you recognize from this and the rest of your life, including could any of it, part of it happen in the future? And what do you want to know? Then we offer the if it were my dream feedback. We see if it were my dream, if it were my life, if it were my experiences, what we'd think about. And that enables you and empowers you to say anything you like as long as you're polite, because you're not telling the dreamer what her dream or her life means. You're offering associations and projections from your point of view. You can bring in anything that comes up from your life that comes to mind. And finally, we get the action plan. We want some action to apply the guidance, the strategy, to honor the dream, to put the glove on the desk, and a bumper sticker, a one-liner, a mantra, a snapper, a slogan is a good thing to harvest the guidance and the forward momentum of the dream. This is Where the Dream with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest today is Sarah Britton, trained teacher of active dreaming. We're discussing dreaming at the office, and there'll be more after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. I'm going to play Pushy Author one more time. My new book, Mysterious Realities, subtitled A Dream Traveler's Tales of the Imaginal Realm, is out. I have all the fierce pride of a new parent. Go and look for it. You won't be disappointed.
It is an amazing series of travelogues from journeys in this world, from Transylvania to the ancient city of the goddess in Ephesus and in other worlds also, of course. Our wonderful guest today is Sarah Britt. We've been talking about dreaming at the office, dreams at the office, and Sarah says she has a life experience, perhaps a dreamlike one, on the roads of everyday life that began to unfold as she was leaving the office one day. I haven't heard it yet. Sarah, do you want to tell us what this experience is?
Yes, I would love to share this. I will title it The Moth. That's my title. So, and I'm going to treat it as a dream, but this was an actual experience as I had that I'm going to tell it as we tell our dream stories. And here it is. I left work, I get in my car, and I notice there's a very large moth. As I start driving, it's in my side mirror, like tucked in. And now I'm on the highway, and I'm worried. I'm hoping that the moth is going to survive the ride till I get to my appointment. I had an appointment, and it actually did. I was happy to see it survived. I pulled into the parking lot of where I was, and once I stopped, it flew off. So the moth was a beacon to me. And I kept it with me through this appointment. Now, I go home, and as I arrive at home, my new neighbors are outside, and the children come out, and they share their stories with me. They introduce themselves. They tell me about themselves. I share a story with them about who my neighbors are on either side. And it was just so lovely. So I come into my house and I decided I'm just going to Google the moth. And as I Google the moth, a site comes up called The Moth, and it's dedicated to the art and the craft of storytelling. And these stories are told in first-person accounts, and it's people from all over the world tell their stories. And I listen to one of the stories by a young man about him coming out. And I will say that will be the end of my dream.
Okay. All right. Let's treat it as a dream story. What's the title of the whole episode?
I'm going to still call it The Moth and the Stories.
Moth and the Story. Okay.
Yeah.
What are your feelings? What are your feelings around this whole episode?
I was thrilled and exhilarated, and I was really I'm shocked when I punched that in to Google and it came up with this storytelling site.
Mm-hmm.
Because often, you know, we talk about the value of storytelling. Dreams are stories that we bring back from another place that we've experienced. So I was just so struck. I was so delighted by this chain of events. And I was so happy that I followed it.
Well, I'm happy about I'm happy about the way the story is evolving for you. Let's just stick with our process for a moment. What are your associations and experiences with moths prior to this?
Well, prior to this, you know, we're Italian, so it's bad luck to kill a moth. We call it the dove of St. Anthony, so you're supposed to catch them. My other associations with moths are usually moths can sometimes represent the spirits of the dead.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So is there anything that you don't already know that you'd like to know about this episode or about the moth in the side window?
I would like to know. I'm pleased about it, but I also would like to know if there's anything else that I should have taken from this experience.
Right. Well, if it's my dream, I have a little bit of a shiver about the initial appearance of the moth because I very strongly associate moths with spirits of the dead. doesn't mean they're bad, but it means I associate the spirits of the dead. Butterflies I associate with soul of the living and soul in general, but moths, as in that tradition that you quoted, like the ancients, I associate very specifically with spirits of the dead. So I would always wonder whether the story that is about to unfold involves death, someone who has died, or the presence of the spirits of the dead. That's where my mind always tends to go.
Mm-hmm.
Call me superstitious, but as one of my personal omens, when moths turn up, I'm thinking about spirits of the dead. And to be taken to a story site, it reminds me there are other things involving the moth, aren't there? Wasn't there some TV series, something on video called The Moth Man or something like that? Didn't that also involve, you know?
Well, I think there was a sci-fi movie called Mothra.
There have been a bunch of things. And there are many stories that have used, many stories and story sites and videos and TV productions that have incorporated the word moth, and some of them do tend, I think, to involve spirits of the dead. So my mind is still on that, and I'm wondering, mm-hmm. having found the story site, what story involving that scene, contact with spirits of the dead, is going to surface in my life. It's not necessarily sinister, it's not necessarily bad at all, but I would be alert for a story involving contact with the deceased if I had had that experience with the moth. And the moth is caught up somehow in a mirror. The mirror is showing what is behind me. If I look in it, of course, the mirror
yeah.
would show my own face. But what is the mirror? What is the reflection? What is the past history, perhaps? The places I've come from and are now leaving that the moth relates to. So my mind goes off in that direction very, very strongly. Does any of that
yes.
speak to you?
You know, I never even thought about the mirror. And
yeah.
after
yeah.
the moth, that the whole kind of in-between part of that waking dream experience, I'm meeting a new family that's moved in. You know, I'm telling them about the two neighbors on either side of me, one of which is my mom, and the other side is a new neighbor, but you know, we think about the past and what was left behind. You know, my dad is deceased, and so is the other owner of the other house next to me. And just, if I'm going to think about stories, what the moth is, if the moth is showing, is it is stuck in the mirror? Now I'm thinking about what were the stories from the past that I might be missing during this time.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a very good way to orient the imagination as we think about this. What is stuck in the mirror in terms of what has gone before? And that sort of somehow for me underlines the idea that there's a story here relating to the deceased, relating to the spirits of the deceased. Which ones are going to become relevant now? Which ones are maybe not stuck, although they may have been stuck? It really just free associating. If the theme is the moth, which I associate with spirits of the dead, is stuck in a mirror that shows us what is behind us, then is it also to do with someone who is deceased, who has been stuck for a while but might now get free? Is any part of this story relevant to the situation of the new neighbors? Is any part of this relevant to my relations with deceased members of my own family and friends? The
yeah.
idea that something that has been stuck in the past might now be released is very positive to me.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because when I look at the date of this experience, it was October 4th, and it's close to the when my dad passed.
Right. Okay,
so
it might be time to think about dad and see if I can, if it's my life, if I can have a bit more of a conversation with him, be helpful in some way. Thank you, Sarah, for orienting us towards a very important aspect of this dreaming. I mean, it's dreaming with open eyes. It's dreaming wide awake. And if you can dream wide awake and pay attention to synchronicity and symbolic pop-ups in the world about us, one thing we're going to do is, as we are discussing,
we're going to construct our personal dictionary of omens and symbols that pop up in waking life. What is the moth to you? What is a butterfly? What is a black dog, etc.? We talked a little bit about what the moth might mean in certain traditions. I talked about what it means to me. But the trick is then to see whether this applies in a certain case. It's Sarah's waking dream, not mine, so my associates with the moth might or might not be pertinent to hear. But nonetheless, we've had a juicy and creative conversation around this waking dream. We're talking to Sarah Britt, one of our teachers of active dreaming. We'll be back to talk more about dreaming in everyday life after the break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knopf.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Sarah Britt. We started inching towards one of the most important facets of dreaming, which is we dream with the departed, and those dreams can be a source of healing and forgiveness and guidance, and we can do good things for each other. Let me say something that is basic to me. My book, The Dreamer's Book of the Dead, is all about this, and I've been talking to the dead all my life, and Sarah's done a certain amount of that too, but let me just put it in a broad frame of reference for a moment. Contact with the deceased, particularly in our dreams, but of course also in other ways, is not weird, it's not supernatural, it's entirely natural, and it's common, and it's more likely than not for at least three reasons. The first is the dead might still be with us in the sense they're still around. That might be okay, or it might not. Sometimes it's not okay if they're around because they need another drink, because they're lost or confused, or think they're going to hell if they check out of the earth environment. And sometimes they can weigh upon the living, so sometimes that's problematic, but they might still be around. The second reason that contact with the deceased, especially in dreams, is not weird or supernatural is they come visiting. They come calling for all the reasons we call on each other, and then some. And the third reason is that dreaming, which is traveling, we may travel to realms where the dead are alive. Sarah just mentioned to me during the break that she has a recent dream of her deceased father. Would you like to tell us that dream, Sarah?
Sure, and I will call it, the title is Navigation Not Necessary. And this dream actually happened a couple days after the moth experience. So here's the dream. I'm driving somewhere downstate near New York City. My parents are also driving together in the area, and we pull over and stop. We're each in our own separate cars, and I'm amazed that my dad wants to go, and I ask if they have a navigator. My dad says, I don't need a navigator. We'll be fine. And I thought, oh my goodness, that was the end of the dream. It was a simple, short dream.
Okay, well, let's do our process. Did you give the dream a title?
Navigator Not Necessary.
Okay, so
So what are your feelings around the dream, coming out of the dream?
I'm a little uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable.
You're uncomfortable as you come out of the dream. Okay.
Yeah.
And your father is deceased. Your mother's still alive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And
do you drive to New York City?
I drive to New York a lot because my grandson's down there. When my father was alive, he did not drive. He couldn't stand driving. He was afraid of driving.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, if you gave him a ride, he'd get in the back seat.
How did your father look in the dream? Did he look the way he did in old age, or did he look different?
He looked younger. He looked really great. He looked younger.
He did. Okay.
Like he was maybe.
And did your mother look? Did your mother look the way she does now, or not?
I don't remember. I just knew she was there. I don't remember seeing her.
My dad did not have a car. Okay. Is there any sense? What about the car itself? Do you recognize the car?
No.
Okay. Is there any sense in which, in the future, Dad could turn out to be the navigator or the driver for your mother or for you or for family members? Is there any sense in which he could be on the scene and know what he's doing? I mean, the deceased can sometimes be advisors and counselors in our lives, for example. Is that kind
it's
of scenario possible?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. What do you want to know?
I'd like to know, why is he downstate? Because it was kind of a nondescript somewhere downstate. I'd like to know where they're going.
All right.
I don't think we're going to the same place, so.
Okay. Well, if it's my dream, and I have family in the New York City area, as you've told us you do. I have friends, child, for example. I'm thinking that if my father is able to check in on us and is interested, I mean, he'd have a family reason to go downstate from upstate New York, where you live, to check on the family and maybe be present to the family situation, bring himself up to speed, and maybe be helpful in some way. I mean, that makes sense to me in a family situation. If he wants to be involved, the fact that he's looking younger looks great, tells me that perhaps he's moved beyond some of the early post-death transitions and is now in a better state of mind, state of being, able to adjust his appearance and able to adjust other things. He can drive and he can navigate. He doesn't need a navigator. He can get around. He knows what he's doing. Maybe in some sense, if another family member, such as my mother, is getting on, maybe he's able to play guide and navigator for someone like that. It doesn't mean that death is imminent, but it does mean that maybe he's putting himself in the way of being sole friend and navigator for someone else who will eventually approach death and need help through that journey. So all of that feels quite good to me. I'm uncomfortable. Okay, well, you know, we can sometimes be uncomfortable in the presence of family members in any reality. But I'm now thinking about my father's driving after his death. My father was a cheerful driver, a passionate driver. Even actually, he rode a motorbike at one point. He loved to drive. And I'm thinking about all the times after death when my father took me for a ride in a car. And this was part of his transition. He showed when my father, after his death, was able to show me several states of his transition in the afterlife. Sometimes I'd find myself in a car with him. He was always at the wheel, actually, just to go off on a slight tangent. Once he handed me car keys, he said, well, I gave you the car, but how you drive it is up to you. And I understood that to be a comment on genetic inheritance. You know, I contributed to this car, but how you drive it is up to you. So I'm actually having sort of benign, you know, cheerful thoughts around the dream. I think Dad is on the scene. Why is he on the scene? Well, I see two obvious reasons for me. If it's my dream, first of all, and it's about why he's going downstate. First of all, he wants to be part of the family situation. He wants to be up to speed on that. Maybe he wants to share in family celebrations and transitions. And secondly, if he's with Mom, well, maybe he's presenting himself at this early stage, hopefully early stage, a sole friend and navigator when she's going to need that. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, and I could certainly use the assistant because she doesn't always listen to me things that are better.
So is there any action you will now take? I mean, honor thy father. Is there something you will now do?
Well, actually, yes. Once I plan on this afternoon is November 1st, and it's traditionally, Mom and I go to the cemetery and bring some offerings. And,
okay.
And that is what I will do in a car with her.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to keep this energy of my younger version of my dad, who doesn't need a navigator and is totally comfortable driving.
Yes.
That energy is so nice to see and feel.
Yes. So is there a phrase, a catchphrase, a forward-moving phrase that comes out of this bumper sticker?
I think follow your gut, because he's showing me he doesn't need navigation. Maybe I don't always need this navigation either.
Okay. All right.
So I'm going to have that as part of my bumper sticker.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Simple dream with a lot of feeling riding around it. And it's going to remind people who are listening to us that the dead don't have to stay the same. I mean, someone who died elderly and infirm doesn't have to stay in the condition that we last saw them in. They can adjust their appearance. Jung, I remember, was shocked when his two wives, Emma and then his second wife, Toni Wolff, who both predeceased him, turned up looking beautiful and about 30 years old and dressed to the nines. I mean, Jung had this experience that many of us have had, a finding that our deceased can alter their appearance when they've got themselves straight and clean and right on the other side. And that can be a wonderful thing to recognize and to learn from. All right, we've been talking to Sarah Britt about dreaming at the office, dreaming on the road, dreaming in everyday life. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Mouse. We'll be back to say hail and farewell after the break.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
This is Way of the Dream with Robert Mouse. We've been talking with Sarah Britt, our wonderful guest, about dreaming in the office and everyday life. Sarah, I'm picturing somebody cruising by your desk in your office with a cup of coffee and saying to you, talking about dreams again, why does this dream stuff matter? What would you say very briefly to someone who had that kind of question?
Well, I would say to them, dreams matter, especially to me, as they should to you, because dreams show us that we're connected to something greater than what we're experiencing right now.
Okay. That's very good. We'll let that hang in the air as our last thought for this wonderful show. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah, to everybody. From now until next time, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.